Let's welcome everybody in to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is our Leaf Hour edition. We are with you for the next 2 hours, wherever you're watching, listening, all of our platforms, like live, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. We're glad you're aboard. What a busy weekend. I am Nick Kiprios. He is Justin Bourne. He is Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake Schultz. Okay, jam-packed weekend.
Yeah.
And, like, of course, we've had some trades that we're going to discuss, some not even hockey-related, but we will discuss them in the next 2 hours here.
Why Friday night?
And then you go into Saturday night, marquee matchup, Matthews, McDavid, Toronto, Oilers, and Sammy goes to a wedding. A wedding.
Disappeared.
Because two people are in love. Sammy bailed on Toronto and Edmonton for love.
I will say it was lovely. I do love weddings and I had a fantastic time. And I will say I was blown away at the amount of people that actually care about Leafs talk. Like the amount of messages
so
and DMs.
What did you do? Did you do?
No, nothing.
So there's no show?
No show.
You left everybody out to dry.
So I tried to watch the game on my phone at the table, and I had it going, but you're not really paying attention. And then I saw them make it 4-3, and I'm like, I'm going to the bar. I'm like, oh, this is tomorrow's problem. I'll deal with this tomorrow.
Tequila.
I got a cold Heineken and hung out with my friends. But yeah, it was great.
This is good. He saved all of his takes for us, Cooper.
I watched the game yesterday. It was a really great rewatch, knowing that they won the game. It was a lot of fun. So shout out all the boys. Shout out Vic. Shout out his lovely wife, Amanda. Amazing wedding.
To suggest that we've watched every Leaf game live would be just a flat out lie.
Impossible.
How are you on replay watching? Because I'm not great.
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm like,
lose, there's the one game you and Sammy, I looked at the group chat and it was just like killing the Leafs. And they end up losing 3-0. And I got to go home and watch them score 0 times and lose to, I think it was Ottawa or something. I
was like, it was Ottawa.
I don't know if I can do
it. And you know you're going to watch like nothing happen.
Yeah. And it's like, he sat there with good intentions and watched the first, 3 minutes, and it's just like, the device, stuff.
I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I think it's, I was able to, you get to flip through the commercials.
The commercials are...
And it's good.
It's a bonus to get through the commercials.
But I've really, I did... It was a good game. Lots happened. Lots to talk about. So it wasn't too bad to rewatch. Anyways.
Okay, so we'll start there. And, of course, some trades also, no one's allowed to trade if it's not Friday night?
Is that
the way it works now in the NHL?
That's like the news dump time, but you would think that these teams would be proud of these trades and they would want to all the attention possible for acquiring great players, but I don't know. Could be a coincidence that it's been Friday at dinner time.
I forgot those trades even happened after Luka Doncic got traded in the NBA.
Oh, my God.
I honestly, I thought it was a huge moment for them trading all this stuff. But
was that Saturday night?
Yes.
So did you get, were you 2 tequilas in by that time that email came?
I was in the car on the way home, and I had our...
Were you with Bunk?
I was with J.D. Bunkus, and I was scrolling Twitter, and I looked, and it popped up, and I read it 3 times, and I said, oh, my God, and it just went from there.
Like, what would Bunk do?
Oh, we were both like, it's fake! Fake! We were just like, it's fake! So it was a crazy weekend for transactions. But the hockey trades, it's one that was rumored forever. So we'll talk about it more with Halford in the National Hour. But crazy.
Crazy indeed.
Crazy.
In the meantime, the Leafs now, second time in a short period where they end a 3-game skid.
Mm-hmm.
So
in
it was
in dramatic fashion.
It wasn't probably as pretty as I would probably think Berube or the management team would have liked, but a win's a win. No?
You know what I liked about this is this separated Berube and Keefe. I don't know if you guys saw Berube post-game, but he said basically, you guys battled your asses off. We got big blocks, big saves. We scored big goals. Like, that's a win. And I liked that. Because, yes, Kip, we could sit here and go, they were outshot by 20. It was 18-5 in the second period. The Oilers carried the play. Pick it all apart, fine. But it's like, I think this is more towards what you're looking at in playoffs. On the road, intense environment, get a lead. Can you find a way? And they found a way.
Let's listen to Berube's overview of the game, alluding to what you're talking about there, because I agree with you. I thought it was a really good synopsis of the game. Clip one, Berube, please, Derek.
Yeah, well, we got the lead. I thought that, you know, we could have made a harder push, you know, and thought that we let them come at us too much, and they're a very good team. We know that. We got great players, so. But, you know, we did a lot of good things, but I think that we could have been more aggressive with the lead, and we got that 4-1 lead right away, and, you know, I would have liked, you know, I'm not critiquing wins, because wins are wins, and they're good, but, you know, we could have pushed a little bit more on them, but Wolf was great. Guys battled. Okay, it was a battle, it was a playoff-type game. A lot of credit to their team. They're very good.
You didn't like it.
Well, it's not that I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I just think that it's been going on for a long time where the other team's really, really good and tons of credit to them and finding a way. But, like, wouldn't have been the worst thing to say that we can't just think that we're going to find ways to win like this. It's just not going to happen in the playoffs, and we're only fooling ourselves if we think that this will work in the playoffs. It's just we've got to play harder. We got to find ways to balance it out and to continually rely on our goalie to do what he did last night. It's not realistic.
I mean, this was the Leafs' formula when they win this year. They get goals from the top six guys. You know, it's Marner and McMahon, Nyes. I forget who had the other one. One of the top guys. Willie, probably. I don't remember.
Willie,
yeah. And they get saves. That's like the formula for a Leafs win. If those guys don't score, they don't win. So, yeah, there's definitely some concerns about it. The one thing in particular is just how much the Oilers carried the play. There's 90 shot attempts at the Leafs net and 44 the other way.
So 90?
90. The Leafs ended up blocking 24 shots to the Oilers, 7.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they, you know, they packed the bus a little bit and tried to hang on and did hold on. Needed an overturned call on the blue line there, but, you know, find a way.
Wow.
Not a bad way.
Joseph Wall is the way.
Yeah.
What
a goalie.
It was fun to watch. I will say that watching him is, if you're a Leaf fan, when was the last time you've ever seen that type of performance? Like, over and over again. How many games have the Leafs gotten point wise because of those guys? Yeah.
You know, it is concerning that the high danger chances against are much higher than they were at the start of the year, where we thought they had straightened up their defending. Now it's just really Wool defending or making saves. I was watching that game and thinking about his U.S. teammate, national team program there, is Ottinger. I was like, are we sure he's worse than Ottinger? Like, maybe I'm pretty excited about Wool, but, like, I'm not sure he's not just as good.
I tried to figure out, because I've seen it on the internet from smart people, but I tried to figure out where to find the goalie steals save, steals stat, because I feel like there's one out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how. I went to Money Puck, and I couldn't figure out. Money Puck is the most intimidating website in the world to me as an old school kind of hockey fan. I was so scared on there trying to figure it out. But if you broke down the Leafs in terms of how many goalie steals they've gotten this year, quote unquote, I bet you it would be more than they've had combined in the last, like,
so,
3 or 4 years.
Without,
like, think about it. Stolarz and him, you can think of 5 games they wouldn't have won without them.
So, like, I was just going to ask you, what's the number? What's the number of points? He's just threw out 5 games, so that's 10 points. That's 10 points where one goalie made the difference. Would you agree with that number? I think it's a pretty fair number.
I agree. Sure.
But they're on the team too. Like, you're allowed to have,
like,
you're allowed to have good goaltending, but which his team has never had.
I know you are allowed, but it's very rare.
Definitely.
Well, it's rare, but there are guys who sustain that ability, right? They are that good. And, you know, we've seen Vasilevsky in the playoffs and Shesterkin in the playoffs and, you know, Bob recently. It's like, either you believe that this is not who Wool is, or you believe this is potentially a way for them to find a way through. I know, I'm with you.
Yeah.
You don't want to count on getting great saves. That's a risky plan.
He's just so sound positionally. Like, the puck just hits him up high so often.
You made such a great shoulder save on
Perry, the slap shot. And the one, there was a slap shot from Perry that he just catches with the shoulder. Like, not obviously he has spectacular ones, including the one at the end of the game on Perry. The one cross crease on Skinner, was it, that he went cross crease and got right before they scored the second or third goal? Like, he made some spectacular saves. But he's just so sound. So, like, in the right spots at all times. Like, kind of a robo-goalie in a way.
Did we play Berube on Joseph Wall?
We did not.
Let's have a listen to the head coach on his star goaltending.
Just the battle, because the way they play, you know, I mean, they move that puck around and they shoot a lot of, there's a lot of attempts that are coming at the net. And I thought he was fighting through traffic and fighting for the puck, battled hard, obviously made some great saves from competing.
Yeah, and he does. I think Kelly on the broadcast talked about how he abandons his form when it gets desperate. He's willing to just get in the way, find a way, and you know, at the end of the game, that's certainly what you see.
So, like I mentioned to you last week, and you got a little bit, not cross at me, but you gave me the hairy eyeball. This is what gives me hope.
Yeah.
This is...
Oh, listen.
This is what I watched a game like that last night, and you could picture that game in the first round against some upstart team that's red hot.
Yeah.
45 shots against you. Your star power takes over, and your goalie steals it for you. You've seen that. Like, you're not going to play as badly. I didn't think the Leafs were very good for most of that game. But
I'm not about to call him Dominic Hasek.
Okay.
But that's the type of goaltending that took Buffalo once upon a time to a Stanley Cup final. Right?
Yeah.
Where you look at the team and you're going, huh, but this guy in net gives you a chance every night. That's the type of goaltending he's given the Leafs a good portion of the season.
Yeah. So to take it away from the crease and look at some other things that happened in that game, one of the most noteworthy ones to me is Jake McCabe plays over 30 minutes. You know, against top guys, big minutes, the play he makes on McDavid late, who's busting wide, and he hustles and gets a piece and drives him into the end wall. I thought a great game from McCabe.
Somehow gets his hip on McDavid's hip, even though he kind of beat him a bit and knocks him off stride. It was a beautiful play. I mentioned this yesterday on Twitter, but I'll say it to you too. With the cap going up, that contract all of a sudden looks like, I know he's older and I know it's a longer term one, but like, $113 million cap, and you're paying him, what, $4.5 million?
He's actually been super cheap for them because he had been retained previously.
And deferred.
Oh, that's right, too, yeah. Right? So, yeah, you're getting a nice cap hit on McCabe for years to come. Now, there are concerns with the D. Obviously, OEL leaves with injury. They've called up, is it Dawson Mercer? Is that who they called up?
No, they called Dawson Mercer.
That's a different team.
He plays for the Devils.
Dakota Mermis.
Yeah. Dakota Mermis. Same initials and sounding name. But so they called him up because Oliver Ekman-Larsson left the game. So.
But is considered day-to-day? They didn't say anything.
I haven't heard anything worse than that.
Berube immediately after the game was like, yeah,
he said day-to-day.
He said day-to-day, lower body. I was like, oh my God. You can't even wait till. But anyways, so yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And other than that, I thought, you know, power play was good. They got a couple net front goals out of Nyes and McMahon, which is encouraging.
How did, like, of course, it's hockey night in Canada Saturday night. The build-up was McDavid versus Matthews. Did it play out the way you thought? Matthews and Marner, 4 points between them. At the end of the day, points are points and wins are wins. But how did you see that matchup?
I thought they were awesome. The third period in particular, I thought like a ton of touches were great. Like outside of that line being on the ice, I felt uncomfortable, but I really liked how they looked and how they played defensively in particular. Your thoughts, similar, not similar?
Yeah, I think Austin's still kind of, I just don't see that consistent push, that consistent threat like I'd like to. But,
Kip, I thought he was really good at all the center iceman things, you know, taking pucks away, getting out of the zone while they're protecting that lead.
Yeah. How about you?
I think Nyes is hugely important to that line where I just like those two guys can do what they do and they have such a hard time. I find in a lot of these games, getting to the middle of the ice, even Marner for sure, Matthews, and he doesn't necessarily, like, maybe there was that one season where he was tipping a million pucks and get into the center of the middle of the ice. But it doesn't feel like that happens as much recently. And I thought that Knies really brings that, really opens up the middle of the ice because he's just a cinder block in front of the net. And the goalie scores in the power play. Like, you know, watching.
Who was it? He crumpled in the corner on a puck retrieval, too. Yeah.
You watch him play, and, you know, we were watching them lose. Was it 3 in a row and he wasn't in the lineup? And, you know, you can mention Tavares, and he's clearly a really important guy. But I think it's scary how important Matthew Knies is to the team. Like, I just, what he brings, the element he has in terms of that power forward, physicality, in front of the net. Like, I really, really liked his game on Saturday. And, I mean, he scores a big goal. He's just thick neck, kind of a mutant out there. He's been really good.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube on his thoughts on McDavid and Draisaitl and the job that his hockey club did against them.
Well, I mean, we had two lines probably most of the time against them tonight, and I thought that they did a good job for the most part. It's hard to handle those guys. They're very good players, we know that, but, you know, our D did a good job against them, and when our forwards, whoever was out there did it, they tried to, you know, stay on them, get above them, not give them too much time and space. So overall, you know, keeping them off the score sheet goal-wise, they had some looks, obviously.
You can't get seamed twice in the dying second, 6-on-5. Like, hey, McDavid is looking for Leon. He's looking to get it back door to Leon.
That was a nice
wakey-wakey
going offside.
Yeah, for sure.
I know. It's easier said than done.
It's McDavid and Draisaitl, and he's punished guys for 34 times this year. Has he scored another goal this year? Other than that one, like he's so good from that spot. And he almost scored earlier in the game. He fluttered one. Like,
just like there's no defensive strategy that shouldn't include one guy's on Leon.
That.
No, one guy's just on him. Now you're right. 5-on-4 everywhere else.
You're right. But they, you know, it's hard to, you know, easy to say it. And then once you get out there and he's going downhill like that. But I mean, yeah.
You know, in terms of red flags on that game, Domi played 10 minutes, played 3 minutes after the Oilers scored their first goal, I think, in the rest of the game. You know, that line with Robertson and McMahon, it's just becoming clear as you watch trades happen around the league, like, Berube can't be loving that line right now, trying to figure out how to make that work.
Yeah, I thought Saturday night's another example of, you've got to do something here at the center ice position. You need something here moving forward. And
that line
between Holmberg and Max or whatever, it's not getting it done right now.
Yeah. And I thought like every time that they put the Robertson, McMahon, Domi trio on the ice was probably the worst minutes that the Leafs had. Like, I really didn't think that they really had much sustained anything. So
I tell you though, I have moments where I'm like, if it's Domi or Robertson going over the boards, I'm not sure who I want right now. Max is struggling.
Yeah.
I do like the fourth line that they put together. That Lorenz, Kampf, Holmberg fourth line works for me.
It plays heavy.
Big, strong, long sticks.
They
defensive.
Had a shift in the third period, I think, with about five minutes to go where they had them pinned for a minute. They munched the minutes off of the clock, which helped.
And they could have made about five little slips up by the blue line. And every time there was a play obviously there, they just held on or put it back low. And it was like, I hated it offensively, but it was like, that's exactly
trying to kill the clock.
Yeah. That's exactly what the coach wants them to do. And Lorenz, I don't know, maybe you can think of the one even, but Lorenz had Holmberg in the high
exactly
slot. He had the puck on the wall, and it was like, he's there. He's there.
Not forcing
he's there.
Into the middle
he's
of the
like,
ice.
He's just not going to give it to him.
Yeah.
He's making the safe play, and I think that bodes well. Lorenz will be there in playoffs on the fourth line, assuming he's healthy.
Lot of talk last week about Riley. Thoughts on him in the game on Saturday. Ends up -1. I think he had an assist, didn't he? Ended up with an assist, Two shots on goal. Played 22 minutes, two block shots.
Yeah, I thought he put pucks towards the net.
Yeah.
He's definitely conscientious of trying to be involved a lot more, which I'm okay with. I'm open to it because it's not necessarily you just sitting back either. You're trying to be proactive here to get things going your way. it's a start. We'll see where it goes tomorrow night in Calgary, but I expect to see more of the same where he's pushing it. Mm-hmm. What else can you do? It's not a good look on this hockey club. What is he, dash 19, 18?
Yeah, lots. I don't know.
It's just, it may cost him a few more dashes to try to get out of this on the opposite side.
Yeah, he's
minus 19.
There's not going to be a game where you're like, Riley's back, baby. Yeah. You know, like he needs to chip away and layer one brick on the next to rebuild. Yeah. And it's going to take some time for him.
I think they may have to go shopping.
Yeah. It's interesting. I saw that
D-man.
San Jose trade.
Yeah. Yep, they do.
Yeah.
You know, San Jose traded for too. Granlund and CeCe for a first.
Yeah.
And I know Cody CeCe's been through it and the public floggings in Canada, but I like that trade. I would have liked that trade for the Leafs, maybe not CeCe as much. But I mean,
CeCe played minutes for a team that went to game 7 of the finals last year.
Yeah, like, real minutes. Killed penalties last.
Yeah, had a primary assist on the only goal they scored in that game, in game 7, by the way.
There is no doubt in my mind if Brad Tree Living's working on something right now, it is trying to find your centerman that you like. And what do you got on D that can package this thing? He will find a similar type of trade with a centerman and a defenseman, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
It's just getting thinner, and I'm getting worried. As JT Miller moves, as Mikael Granlund moves, obviously Rantanen and Natchez move. You said there's only so many guys that can move. The Islanders are suddenly competitive and not looking to trade. Mm-hmm. You know, you start looking around the league and you're squinting and going, Scott Laughton, the answer? Like, you know.
You guys know how I feel about that type of centerman, mm-hmm. where it's like you're locked in to go trade for Scott Laughton will cost you probably a first or a second and a third.
What about if you take a Ristolainen's contract?
I don't think he's high enough.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think it's gonna, like, if the
but
Leafs,
that's why it's getting harder.
If the Leafs don't score, like, is Scott going to come in and help that?
No. It's not like he jumps over the boards. You're like, we got a chance to get one.
You need a centerman that can almost push John Tavares down.
You're only talking about Dylan Cousins.
You need somebody as good or better than John Tavares.
Who is that?
Yeah, you're right. You mentioned the name of Cousins. We've dropped Kadri's name before. That's the type of impact, I think, player that they should be going for. And
Calgary just said they're not doing Kadri, then, Uyghur.
I don't like the fact that Braden Schenn's got, I don't know, 2 or 3 years left on his deal. Two after this, and he's already 33.
Yeah.
Not thrilled with it, mm-hmm. but how good would he look this year coming in?
I mean, that's the name that I had brought up last week to you.
Yes.
Do you think that's a name?
Yeah, I do.
They
6.5 this year and 3 more
I get
after.
It. Oh, it's 3 more after.
3 more after?
Yeah.
Can you get St. Louis to eat some of it?
They don't retain, do they?
They don't retain, but times are changing.
3 more years? Yeah, that's scary.
That's the type of impactful guy. Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
That's the guy that excited Leaf fans 2 years ago, mm-hmm. you try to sign him, didn't want to stay, but that's better than the names that you just dropped me.
Shen's going to finish with 20 goals this year, you know, and 45, 50 points. But he also, the thing with Schenn is he does a lot, right? He also hits and he's
leader-y
a character guy and he can do whatever you need him to do by and large. But
so
can I ask,
Leafs need a blockbuster. They do.
So the question that perfectly kind of parlays off that, and that's not the word I'm looking for. I got the gambling mind. Anyways.
Doesn't not work.
Okay, we'll use it. Treliving, I'm seeing a little bit of it from Calgary fans. I'm seeing it a little bit kind of out there bubbling up amongst Leaf fans as sort of like the tire kicker here.
Yeah.
Where a guy, I don't want to make a cross-sport comparison, but much like the Jays at times, that
in
are seemingly in on a lot of things, but then when the dust settles after the trade deadline, a lot of the good players are on other teams, and that is a reputation I've heard from Calgary fans, and, you know, it's starting to bubble up amongst Leaf fans. Any thoughts on that? any insight on that?
I would say that the fundamental difference is that in Major League Baseball, Toronto is Columbus. You know, we are not.
Yeah.
Hockey, we're the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, it should be people being like, I want to be a part of that. They have all the money. You know, we should be the Dodgers in this case. So it's worse, is my point. At least baseball, they have an excuse to not land the big.
I mean, you talk to people in the league. Have you ever heard
that? Yeah. That's out there.
It's out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, I'd have to go back and really revisit everything he's done.
But
it doesn't
like
seem overly unfair.
Stuff.
He's made a couple big.
He does. He has a reputation for making like way more calls than other GMs. Like this guy will talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you'd rather go 1 for 5 than 1 for 50, right?
Yeah.
His batting average is way better.
Yeah.
The other way around. But he'll take his bat off the shoulders on everybody and anyone. And if it appears that he's in on everything and doesn't end up with something, it's only because he swung the bat so many times.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs to come up with something between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah.
There's just no way that anybody could look at this hockey club or the way they played Saturday night and go, yeah, they're close to being ready to make a major push here. If you don't want to put all the weight of the world on Joseph Woll or Stolarz when he comes back.
Particularly when you really make clear that this is about the Stanley Cup and being with the best teams at the end, at least the final four teams, and a team like the Oilers, they're not done. Oilers are going to add someone. They're going to add some D.
Did you see anything Saturday night that suggests that they can win the Stanley Cup?
I mean, it's the same answer in that, yeah, you know, I saw a couple of guys that make you think they can win the Cup.
Couple of guys.
Yeah.
I didn't see a blue line, and I'm not sure I saw goaltending.
Yeah. Yeah, Skinner, I said to Sam in our chat, sometimes it looks like he's using like a worn-out Velcro pad when you're playing at the sticky catch.
But he has some of his nights are just like, holy. Yeah. But I mean, he was huge for them in a lot of big games in the playoffs last year, but you catch him on the wrong night, and you're like, they'll never win anything with this guy.
You just kind of don't know.
You don't really, which is not, that's exactly what you want in your goalie.
Yeah.
Having no idea.
Which guy we got tonight.
No, I do get the feeling, though, watching this team, that they are in bigger need of a bigger trade.
Well, let's be real. The Leafs are a +9 goal differential team after 53 games, 52 games. So 30 games left. They're +9. You know, that's not great. That's a pace to be a +15 team. Those are 6-7 seeds. That's not Stanley Cup winners. Teams are plus, right now in the league, you got teams that are +53, +64, +40, +29, +28. You know, they're +9. And say what you will about, we don't like plus minus. In the end, you will sort the standings, and the best teams are at the top.
Talking to an executive over the weekend, I'm like, how many teams do you think could legitimately win the Stanley Cup?
13.
He gave me 11.
Yeah.
11.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a huge number compared to usually half.
Did they say the Leafs?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, you're part of the 11. That's one-third of the league.
Was it Brad for Living?
No.
Okay.
No. In saying that, like we can also, and I said to him, like, out of the 11, how many of them, like, have major flaws? He said 11.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
how many of them are going to repeat? Zero.
As much as you'd like to improve here, and here, because it's exposed once a week.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the same. Like, this is part of that mediocrity of the league today, is that there's nobody that's really, really great or the holes that they have are not necessarily plugged.
No. So this is April 2nd, 2019. I've got an article that says why this is the year a weird ass team wins the cup.
It might be.
St. Louis Blues won the cup that year. I feel exactly the same this year. Exactly the same. It's going to be it could be the Leafs year. It could be the Oilers year. It ain't going to – it could be anyone.
Well, I mean, yeah, you look at the best team in the league by
fans have been saying that for
no, but
20, 30
you
years.
You said this is the last week.
Usually you're so far behind the best teams.
I'm just saying,
not.
Though. I'm just saying, though. Like, it is wide open.
I actually
best
think
team in the league right now is Washington. They stink.
Do the Leafs have a better chance this year because of that?
Yes. Yes. If you're run, do I have a better chance running against my son's grade 3 class or the guys in the Olympics? You know, give me the kids in Bowmore Public School. They got a better chance against a bunch of average runners here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the top two teams in points percentage in the league. It's the Jets and it's the
You get
Caps.
Goaltending like that, you can get to a Stanley Cup final.
Beat anybody.
And I know so many Leaf fans, myself included, that watching Game 5 and Game 6 from Joseph Woll last year had everybody dreaming. I had people mentioning Binnington. Had people getting
He's played
really
like 10
excited.
Playoff games and has like a 920.
No, like he's unbelievable in the playoffs. And it really... let's you dream. So we'll see, but I don't know. Like, I just, it could be the year that a weird team wins. And the Leafs
are
a weird
team. That was so begrudging. You said that with just so little belief.
Well, buddy, I can't ever go there. I can't let my mind go there.
They're a 3-0 shutout away from you feeling differently.
Sorry.
That's the kind of year it's been.
Yeah. Joseph Woll has played 7 playoff games, and he's a .933 save percentage in those games.
Wow.
178 goals.
You've got this stat that says Maple Leafs have won 12 straight offside challenges since 2022, but hasn't everybody?
Yeah, if you're challenged.
Now everyone gets everyone.
Yeah, I know, but I put it in there.
No, it's crazy.
It was a valid stat.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it's not valid. I'm like, it just seems so, once you get past the excitement of the building or whatever, whether it's the Leafs or anyone else, once you get past it and then you see offside challenge, you just know it's coming back.
I've changed on this. We need to negate them after like 15 seconds. If everyone's still playing and you're still in the play, like it's not off the offside rush. We've sort of reset. 5 guys are in the zone. I don't know what the cutoff is, but like it didn't affect the play that ended in the goal. And I know people will say, well, if they called offside.
They've worked so hard to get more goals into the game.
Yeah.
And then they take them out off of a whisker.
It's McDavid, Draisaitl, backdoor. This game's going overtime. Just kidding.
I would ask. I gotta tell you, while rewatching it and like watching it after, and just watching all those Edmonton fans are just so fired up. And I just knew it was coming. I was like, yes,
no. You know what the best was? You know what the best was? Listening to them all whine and complain about the Leafs owning the time of the game. Yeah. And then coming out and laying an egg like that to start the game.
Yeah, anything for the come Leafs.
Right?
Yeah. No, you're right. You,
like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I expected a little better.
You
want
to stick it to the Leafs. You want to stick it to Sportsnet. You want to stick it to, you know, Kevin Bieksa for his comment to Draisaitl that, you know, anything for the Leafs.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Show up to start the game.
Yeah, anything for the Leafs.
No.
There are a bunch of grumps over there. They're the grumpiest team in the league by far.
Though. Grumpy's good.
Yeah,
Grumpy's
but they're really grumpy.
Why are you so pissy?
Yes, they're pissy. Edmonton pissies.
All right.
We should go.
We got Luke on the other side.
We'll call Luke.
We're going to find Luke Fox, our Leaf reporter for Sportsnet.ca, as the Leafs may be on the ice in Calgary as we speak. We'll see if he's got a few minutes for us when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee.
Tariff pause, guys. Trudeau just tweeted tariffs are paused.
They're paused?
30 days.
30 days.
Yeah.
He giveth and he taketh away.
Tune into our sister station, City News 680, for more on this.
You don't want to do it ourselves?
No.
Let's talk about the new border plan.
Any thoughts on booing at now hockey games?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, hey, we're upset.
Did Matthews in the horde? I don't think it means what you think.
Austin Matthews get asked today?
Maybe by our next guest.
Oh, did Luke,
oh really?
Did Luke? Did I don't Luke know. Ask him?
Luke is there.
Oh, all right, yeah. We found Luke Fox. Deep. In Calgary. How's it going, pal?
It's going pretty good. I'm sitting inside an empty Saddle Dome right now. And you know what? I'm going to miss this old place.
Yeah. I'm sure you are, but no one else in Calgary will. I can assure you of that. All right, so where do you want to start? Did you, Justin just gave us the news that the tariffs are in a holding pattern of 30 days. Did you dare ask a question? Did you dare ask a political question today in the Leaf dressing room?
I did not. Austin, it wasn't me, but yeah, Austin Matthews was asked. Just in light of, you know, the at Canadian sporting events, the American anthem is starting to get booed. We saw it with the Raptors. He's captain of Team USA, plays for a major Canadian market. He got asked just open-ended if he had any thoughts, and he said no, he's no interest in getting political. I think it's fair to ask, and I think it's fair to not answer. So we move on.
Yeah, I don't know, outside of
you
no
would
comment.
Never get in on that.
I mentioned no comment about a week ago for JT Miller, and I think it worked out okay for him.
Yeah, no comments.
Yeah.
As far as the prep work goes into Calgary tomorrow night, what can you tell us on who's feeling well, who's not feeling well?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And Craig Berube is keeping his cards close to the vest. So it was no surprise that Oliver Ekman-Larsson didn't practice because he left last game, only played about 5 minutes. And then suffered a lower body injury. And after the game, it sounded like he might miss a little bit of time. And then they recalled Dakota Mermis up from the minors, sent Fraser Mitten down. So they wanted an extra defenseman on the trip. So I would be stunned if he plays. But the surprise was that all of a sudden Mitch Marner needed a maintenance day. And he looked pretty great in Edmonton and didn't seem – no obvious injury. Berube said he thought he was fine in the game. But he needed a day off today, which opened some or raised some eyebrows. And then afterwards, Berube did not say, oh, he'll be fine. He's playing tomorrow. And that's usually the case with maintenance days. So I think we're going to be on alert tomorrow morning to see if he takes the morning skate and see what Berube says tomorrow. The other curious thing is he didn't commit to a goalie. So Anthony Stolarz went through a starter's routine. He's looking really good. And sounds like Berube hasn't decided. Does he go back to Wall, who was fantastic with his buzzer beating save in Edmonton, or does Anthony Stolarz start as early as tomorrow night, or does he wait till Seattle? Cause it sounds like he is going to play one of these games.
Seattle Thursday. And, Vancouver Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on the Marner thing?
Yeah. I kind of would lump him right off the top of my head with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, where something's bothering them.
Yeah.
So I go three things. I go hamstring, groin, hip flexor.
Yeah, something that's just a constant sort of annoyance.
Factor the turnover, factor jumping on a plane, factor in things maybe tightening up a back,
yeah,
tight back. Something's just
not bothering, like a fractured bone or anything.
No. Something's bothering these guys. See if it can settle down in 24, 48 hours and go from there.
Yeah. So, Luke,
what's interesting there, though, is, you know, sometimes when they have a guy that they know is going to play, they just plug any old placeholder in there, and they had Max Domi in Marner's spots. So in Marner's spot in the top line as the facilitator. So I think they're cautioning against maybe having to use Domi up there.
Yeah, give him a night. That he's certainly put in his share of work this year. So with Stolarz being a possibility, then it seems like he's back and healthy. It would make perfect sense for him to get an opportunity now if they want to get him in before the Four Nations, right?
Absolutely, and I think he will. If it's not tomorrow night, it's got to be in Seattle. And Seattle will be maybe a softer entryway back into action, just because I don't think they have a ton of offensive punch. Calgary, you know, really will be amped up for this game. I mean, they're in a playoff fight, just made a trade. The room's got a boost. The crowd here is amazing. The Seattle crowd, you know, it's a little tougher. But when the Leafs roll through the Saddledome, it's like 50-50 split, much like Vancouver and Edmonton, and the place is rocking. So I think the easier way might be the Seattle Stolars.
If we do see Stolars, is it perhaps a peek into how this thing will play out, no matter how hot one guy can get? They're very careful and wary of putting too much on their shoulders, maybe protecting them a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a rotation, quite honestly, Nick. Like, the schedule is going to be crammed again after they break for the Four Nations. They got two goalies that have been playing well whenever they've been healthy. I think they're just going to share the net. I think it's going to be very much like Omar can swim in Boston last season, and you make sure both guys are rested. Neither has proven to be a workhorse in this league, so it's the smart play. And then you push the decision of who's the number one in the playoffs down the road, who's playing the best at that time. I think absolutely, like, the Leafs have shown every indication, not just with the goalies, but with everyone, that they're using rest and recovery, more than I've seen in the past. They're being extra cautious, and that applies specifically to the goalies who've bailed them out in so many games.
Lucas, we sit here after 52 games, leaving us 30 to go. Are your impressions of Craig Berube different than what you had anticipated the Leafs were getting when he became coach?
A little bit. And what I would say is, I think his, the reputation and the buzzword coming in, I remember his opening press conference, there's a lot of talk about accountability. And I think for many of us, that meant, oh, he's going to be stern. He's going to be strict. And I think he's just gone about it in a very different way. He's extremely personable, both with reporters, but also with the players. Like, I saw him go up and have lengthy one-on-one chats today with Matthews and with Tavares. And I think he just has a way about him that the players respect. He carries a presence about him, but I don't think he's as hard as maybe some of us thought he might be publicly. He's extremely protective of them whenever he steps in front of the microphone. And maybe he's a little bit harder edged behind closed doors. And yeah, he yells and swears and demands people pay attention in practice. But he just has a calmer way about him than his predecessor did. And that's partly because he probably feels less heat and has a little bit more job security.
We're talking to Luke Fox, NHL on Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. Luke, your latest addition to sportsnet.ca has how NHL's biggest ever cap leap affects Mitch Marner and the Maple Leafs. You go on to write that it's not crazy to suggest that he could even earn more than Austin Matthews. Of course, when I said it about a month and a half ago, I'm like the biggest idiot.
You didn't
idiot,
know what the cap was going
right?
to be, pal.
Oh, I knew what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Then you should do that on our show because that would help our ratings a lot.
I did. I told you $100 million.
And well, it's not 113, is it?
No, next year should have been 102.
Yes.
This is still the number, mm-hmm. right? This is still artificially kept down at 95. Five. It should be at 102. Luke, my point is that you say no problem, right? Not crazy at all to think about Mitch Marner now making more than Austin.
Yeah, I like it's not, if he wants market value, he can get that. I don't think 14th out of the question, and that's because it's not just the Leafs will have more cap space and that the cap's going up, but you have 31 other teams that have tons of money. Say you're Ryan Smith in Utah and you're trying to sell a new fan base, or say you're Davidson in Chicago and you're trying to speed up this Bedard issue, this era where they need someone to help them. Like, there are going to be teams willing to offer Mitch Marner and Mikko Rantanen, I think, closer to 14. And now, on a max term deal. But I think what's going to happen is Mitch Marner has to make a decision, and the Leafs have to make a decision. How bad do I want to remain a Maple Leaf? And they have to just say, how bad do we want to keep him? If we want to pay him fair market value, it might be as much or more than Austin Matthews. And that comes with a whole other set of baggage in terms of optics and pressure and all that. Does Marner want that? Do the Leafs want that? That's what I don't know. But I think on an open market, for sure he could get that money.
For sure. And that depends on his priorities.
And Matthews only signed for 4 years, right? Like, generally, you're buying more UFA years. It costs more money.
It's a lot easier to answer if you've gone to a conference final or a Stanley Cup final.
That would help. But you know what, though? Realistically, there's no way they're better without him. You know, it'll be interesting to see. But if he wants to go get that money in Utah, that's absolutely there. No doubt about that. As they head, do you want to follow up on that at all?
No.
Okay. As they head towards the Four Nations face-off here, you're seeing so many teams make monster moves, Luke. Do you feel like the Leafs are kind of, I don't know, there's only so many options for them. Are they falling behind by not having done something so far?
I don't know if they've fallen behind, but there's fewer guys available, right? Like, they did have some level of interest in Saad for secondary scoring. He's gone. Grant, there was probably some level of interest in Granlund. Now he's in Dallas. I don't know if JT Miller would ever really consider going to another Canadian team. But some names are getting struck off the old Kipper trade board there. And, are the Islanders even selling Brock Nelson? We don't know. Suddenly they win a
couple. JB, you say no.
I say no.
Yeah. So it's like they need – I still think they're going to add someone. But they might, I don't know if it's going to happen before the Four Nations. They might just wait and see if there's a little bit more separation before March 7th. They have to add someone. It's just, I don't know, who really excites you? Does Nick Bjugstad excite you? Does an injured Yanni Gord excite you? Like, what other names are out there?
If the Islanders lose a bunch, it could still happen.
Yeah. We've gone back and forth like three times on the Islanders.
I know, they've been out, they're in. They won seven in a row. Now they're out again. Barzal's hurt.
All right. Luke, great job as always, man. Thanks for coming in, helping us out today.
Okay, have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Luke.
Luke Fox in Calgary, covering the Toronto Maple Leafs, sportsnet.ca, and a terrific article. Catch it on sportsnet.ca where he backs up everything I've said.
He must just love the show. Just loves coming on, so. question for you. This injury news with Marner, you know, getting close to the Four Nations here. I mean, is this an ailment talk here? Like,
it's Feb 3rd. They're going to play on the 4th. I think the last game they play before the Four Nations is the 8th.
Yeah.
Wild horses to keep Mitch Marner from playing with McDavid.
Oh my God. You'd kill to play. I know, but if he's hurt,
it's not happening.
Okay. Thought I'd bring it up.
Not happening. I don't know. Did he rip his groin?
I hope not.
Did he, is a disc out?
Could you imagine, though?
It's like a different ball game.
Prioritizing their own things in past years over the team stuff. You just hope.
Like, you're thinking it's more of just a knock than it is an actual, like, injury.
I have no idea.
How about Pietrangelo's ailments?
Usually under the circumstances that you're on the road and you're racing to catch a flight, you get on the plane and things tighten up on you. That's all.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
But I think it's day to day.
Oh, my God.
I buy into the day to day. I'm sorry.
He hurt himself, absolutely dancing six Oilers on his way, including Stuart Skinner on the way to the net there. That's what I heard.
Every conspiracy thought on day to day injuries and. No, I think maybe whatever's bothering him, if he needs a night off, it'd be fun to watch him, watch the Leafs play without him.
Give a night off.
Right?
Has he had one yet? He's played every game, right?
That'd be good bargaining leverage for Darren Ferris.
What if Domi goes out there and gives him three assists, he has a hat trick, then what?
Then you sign Domi to
seven. Well, he's already got the long contract.
Okay.
We're already trying to get rid of that one. Oh, yeah. Rantanen.
Make up your mind.
You're yelling at me. What are you talking about?
All right. We'll see. We'll play it by ear. We'll see what news we get. But right now, day-to-day, Sammy.
Day-to-day, baby.
All right, our thanks to Luke Fox for joining us. When we return, Mike Halford, co-host of Halford Ruff. from Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. Still tons of news coming out of Vancouver still. Hey.
I know.
A couple of deals.
And how many Pettersons do they have on the team?
Ten.
Three Pettersons.
Oh, my gosh. Back after these words.